And we're back here on Digital-Revolution-Radio. And I'd like to welcome Katya to No Limits. How you doing, Katya?
Hey, how's it going?
You know, it's all about the rock and the roll.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it's now this interview. There's actually for the listeners, this has been about a 2 year endeavor almost. It always seems like scheduling is always either I'm book solid or you're book solid, or we've been missing each other by a few weeks here and there up until the last month. And so really over the last month, this interview has actually really taken shape and been able to happen. Now you were over in Japan in 2012. What part of 2012 were you in Japan with touring On The Rock Lives CD?
I left Los Angeles September 11th. I kid you not. Heading off for Osaka, Japan. It was fantastic. And so we were there about 2 weeks, and it was just fantastic. I got to play Hard Rock Cafe in Osaka. We performed at the KMC Music Conference, and that venue was incredible. I mean, that stage was incredible. It was like a mini House of Blues where we got to perform at. And then we played at another venue that was a little bit smaller, but it was beautiful, and the owner was super nice. And the paneling to this little club was like all wood. So the sound was just incredible, even though it was a smaller venue.
Now, how did you come about the title for your CD, Rock Lives?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, like 6 years old, I was classically trained on piano and voice at age five. And when I was a little girl, my two Russian cousins, who were like my brothers, would take me in the back of a converted garage when I was six, and we would listen to all the rock and roll greats. We'd listen to Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, it was just incredible. And so I got turned on to rock and roll at a very, very young age. And so what I wanted to just dedicate my first debut album to basically rock and roll. So it was first going to be called Rock and Roll Warrior. And then I decided, you know, it should be more of a theme. So I decided on Rock Lives. And so now, you know, when I talk to the fans, I always say, hello, my fellow rockers, you know, and yada yada yada, and then remember Rock Lives, you know. So it's just been great, you know.
It really says something, and for those that haven't seen the font on how it actually lays on the back of the CD, it's awesome, and it screams that classic rock, 80s, 90s rock sound. Now, some of the tracks, I went through and I was watching some of the videos last night and on YouTube and whatnot. And one of the tracks that really grabbed my eye was Vicious Little Brat. And I don't quite know why that one grabbed my attention so much. But there's a story. I know there's got to be a story about that one.
That's so funny. The guys, like, this is little brat, and we never say goodbye. And I think they relate to the line, you know, if you got that nasty itch, remember she's a psycho bitch. And so the song really is about my life, you know. If I had my way, I'd sleep in every day till 3:34 p.m., you know, because I like going to bed late and getting up late. And I'm a hippie, totally, living in the city. And, you know, and the chorus really is about how vicious rock and roll can be, you know, and how it's going to take you for a real tumble the deeper you go. You know, the more successful I become, the greater it is, but the downfall is it gets more and more cutthroat. I mean, it's no kidding. AC/DC writing that song is a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, and look out, it's rough and mean. It's really rough and mean, you know, so you just have to learn how to be tricky.
Amen to that.
You got to learn how to be tricky. You got to learn how to be tricky in rock and roll, you know. Got to learn how to be tricky.
Well, for a woman in music, you've got to be vicious, and you almost got to be a bit bratish at times, and you almost got to have that mentality of everybody knows that saying about karma's a bitch, and then I always reply, but I'm karma's big sister.
That's funny. Well, I mean, I don't care what you... Can we cuss on this show? I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is uncensored.
Yeah. So, call me a bitch. I don't care what you call me. You can call me the worst word in the book. I don't feel female. I don't feel male. I feel like a monster in this music industry. So, nothing affects me, you know. You've got to be so tough to be in the music industry, and especially if you want to survive, and especially if you're an independent artist. You have to be so tough and thick-skinned. I mean, if I was scared off by the horrible things that people told me, it's like I would have left day one, you know?
Yeah, it's not any easier on this side of the CD, I'm telling you. It's as cutthroat on this side of the CD as it is on your side, I'm telling you.
If you love what you do, I mean, you got to love what you do. You got to love what you do. If you love what you do, then you're willing to make that sacrifice, you know?
And it really is all about the love of music. And I had probably one of the biggest honors I think I've ever in all my years that I've been in the industry. This past December, one of the bands that I've been working with for a very long time actually put me and my associate, DJ Hunter, on their credits, and that had never happened in the history of my show, and I was very, I felt very honored by that, and that will that will forever be one of my, if I was to go away and walk away from the industry tomorrow, that would be one of the highlights of my career that I will take to my grave. Now, what about, I do have Vicious Little Brat queued up. I also have Laying in My Bed queued up. And also, you also have some acoustic stuff that you've also done as well. Like a Dream, which is a love song, and Plugged In, and Hey Sister.
Well, I grew up on 70s rock. You know, I really wasn't influenced by 80s and 90s as much as I was influenced by 70s rock. And, like, let's say on Another Brick in the Wall, you know, you could put Mother, and you could put Vera, and you could put Another Brick in the Wall. You know, there wasn't any radio formatting situations like a lot of people have told me, well, the album's so diverse. You know, it's like, well, that's just a little too bad. You know, it's like in the old days, before everything was a formatted hit, you know, you could have an album that had an acoustic ballad, and you could have rock songs on there. And believe it or not, a lot of the rockers really loved Like a Dream, a Love Song. You know, so when you listen to Pink Floyd, you know, you can listen to Another Brick in the Wall, but then Here Comes Mother, which is like an acoustic ballad. So I really don't think that, you know, even on Ozzy Osbourne's albums, he had D, you know, he'd have Crazy Train and then he'd have D, which is like an acoustic classical piece that Randy Rhoads did, you know, on their album. So I don't believe in limitations. Yeah, I don't believe in limitations, you know.
There are no limits.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy into this thing that my album has to only showcase certain songs because it's going to turn the listener off. It's like, I haven't had that problem. And in fact, I've been able to cross-market to many different types of radio stations because I have Like a Dream, a Love Song. Some shows I've gotten on because I have Like a Dream, a Love Song. They're not necessarily into the power of rock and roll and my version of Mercedes-Benz. And then some shows like Bitch and Moan and Vicious Little Brat, you know, and on Django Radio, We Never Say Goodbye is doing really well. So, you know, I'm in the middle of starting to track and record the next album, and it's going to be a lot more metal, you know. So I think this next album will be more cohesive. But Rock Lives was also about my journey through rock and roll. So these songs span from 1990 all the way to 2006. And each song had a huge impact in my career. So that's how I selected each song to this album. And each song is about my journey through rock and roll, you know. Each song has a story behind it. And so the reason why I picked it out of the catalog, you know, I had my reasons. So I really should do a video of my, you know, of the stories behind all these songs and why I selected them for the album.
Now, I noticed there's two instrumental pieces as well. You got to love that rock and roll, the JLY track, which is the seventh track, and 59, which is the rock instrumental.
Yeah.
Was that more of just going at it in kind of more in a jam session, or was there an intentional message that you were seeking in that, but you really didn't have the lyrics at that time for that, or were you just merely trying to convey a musical message to let your spirit sing more than the lips?
Well, what happened with both those songs is I felt like the music was really strong, and I, especially for 59, like, we're in the process of making a video for that, and we're going to do extreme sports to it. And that almost got placed for a race car event. So I don't really think it's 59 calls for lyrics, you know, as much as once we get the visual, I think everybody will understand. It's like my famous friend told me, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. So 59, I don't know that it really calls for lyrics. You know, I want to put a video of guys and girls who are racing to cars and motorcycles and such. So it's really, and as Bernie Grundman said, when we were mastering, he's like, it's really like a mood altering song, you know? So I just, I don't know. I really love music. And also, I just kind of let the music dictate itself. This whole album had a life of its own. This album actually was done, I think 2000. I started recording in 2006, and we mixed it down for the first time in 2007. And when I listened to it, I was like, oh no, this is still sounds like a demo. Because it was my first time mixing down on a 100-channel analog board, and Skip Taylor mixed down the album. And so you could hear every mistake, every nook and cranny. And I realized, you know, these edits are wrong. I need more vocals. I need different drummers. You know, a lot of the drumming was wrong for the song. So, you know, people don't realize when you have a hit record, you can record it in your bar. The song's going to dictate itself, you know. So I actually upgraded my studio and re-recorded a lot of the drums, a lot of the bass on this album, re-recorded the guitars, re-recorded the vocals. And then we mixed down a second time. And a lot of these songs took like 17 times to mix down. So I got the wow. right Katya 101 formula, because this was my debut album. And I'd worked with a few independent producers before, but nobody knew how to mix down and produce my music. And so this was the first time, and I produced the album myself, the first time of what my music should truly sound like. You know, and it's very 70s rock influence. So I kind of just let the song do what it wants to do. And when we perform these songs, when we perform 59, when we perform JLY, the audience loves it because it's something new, you know, it's something that they don't have to focus on the lyric. They can just dive into the music, you know.
Kind of let their spirit listen to it more than their ears listen to it, so to speak.
Yeah, because like 59, the music is like, I mean, I'd have to have heavy metal Cookie Monster voice. You know what I mean? So like, that's that kind of music, you know. You know, it's like, I don't know if people necessarily want to listen to that when they come to a cocktail show. You know, so it's like Jimi Hendrix said, let Jimmy take over. It's like, let the music take over, you know.
And we'll definitely be using those. Maybe I'll use that on an intro one of these days for the show, because I'm always looking for new intros to my show. And I have to sit back and put the Quadrophonic headphones back on and see just what I can come up with, because I'm always looking for new opening pieces, and you never know. Why, over the last month, I've came up with a brand new closing track for my show. So you might end up being on the front bit, right on the front burner of my show.
Oh, that'd be an honor. That'd be an honor. Well, 59 came really close to getting placed in a sporting event. It was three on the table. 59 was one of the three. Unfortunately, it didn't get selected, but it came very close. So that's why we're in the process of making a video for it. You know, just, you know, if you want to get placement, if you want to make it in the industry, you have to show them what you got, so to speak. So that's definitely a project that we're working on, you know. I'd love to see 59 place at NASCAR, let me tell you, you know. And it would be perfect, in my opinion.
Now,
especially because of that crash ending, you know.
Now, looking at the actual, for those of us that are still nostalgic enough to know the physical meaning of having the actual, holding the actual physical product in hand. In a nutshell, how can you best describe the CD, layout, how the CD looks to the listeners. How can you best describe that in a nutshell?
Well, I don't know if I can do it in a nutshell because I'm such a blabbermouth, but when I would go on stage and have like baggy leather pants and, you know, just a regular tee, and my hair was kind of shoulder length, and the guys were a little bit afraid because I'd come out like a bat out of hell playing guitar, and the look was kind of tomboyish and kind of freaked out the audience. And so, you know, I listen to the people around me. You know, I don't do everything everybody says, but I'm definitely not pig-headed in the sense that I want to know how to make my project better. I want to connect with the fans. I want to connect with the listeners. And so everybody was like, you got to sex up your image. You can't, you know, look like you rolled out of bed and got on stage, you know. And so I said, you know, and so actually John Carruthers of Carruthers Guitars told me, Tati, you need to do a photo shoot with your guitars in a bikini. And when he said that to me, I thought he was nuts. I was like, no way, I'm not doing that, you know. But I decided that's it. If people want sexy, I'm going to give them sexy. So I decided I'm going to wear 8-inch heels, black bikini, in front of a black Mercedes-Benz with my guitar. And so that's what I did with Sean Flint's Blair. She's an excellent photographer. And I got, you know, leather pants made with lace up on the side and just created, you know, a new me, so to speak. And it actually felt really good because it's, you know, when you go on stage, it's you know, I'm actually a shy person who's a homebody, who's into nature and animals. So when I go on stage, it's like an alter ego, so to speak. So I don't mind it. So that's the story behind the CD cover. Maybe I took it too far. I don't know. But now, the minute I started putting these images on the internet, my music took off. So you have to have the right picture to the music. And my music is kind of sexually based. I'm a sexual person. So I think everything matches up.
Now, on the actual CD itself, you have a lot going on with numerology and astrological signs. What is what's the story behind that?
Well, a lot of, you know, it's been a long journey in music for me. A lot of that was because I didn't want to compromise my music. I didn't want to, you know, I got deals where I could sing, but I couldn't play guitar. I'd have to co-write. There were just too many compromises that I'd have to make with my music that I wasn't willing to do. And I took the harder road, and people would come up to me and say, Katya, when are you just going to quit that music? And I'd turn around and I'd say, to the death, that's when I'm going to quit. You know, and they were kind of freaked out, like, God, chick's so intense, you know. And I'm proud to say that I was born on the same day as Janis Joplin. I have the same career numbers as Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison. And I've always felt a connection with Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin. They've been incredible inspiration to me. They're incredible rock icons. And I listened to their music growing up. And so the media kind of dubs me rock and roll's love child, that I was kind of like, should have been born, you know, earlier, because my music's 70s rock based. So I decided to put basically my astrology chart on my disc to prove that I'm in it for the music. You know, if I was in it for fame, I would have been signed a long time ago, and I would have become a puppet and just sang whatever song they gave me and put down my guitar and all that. But I really wanted to make it on my own music, you know.
I was looking, because I do astrology, and I was looking at that, and I was like, you know, that is actually an astrology chart. And I was like, You know, that is really different, and I'd never seen somebody put that on a CD, and it is so epic to see it. And if the listeners out there, and those that will hear this on podcast as well, if you ever get a chance to go and have an have your astrology chart drawn up, I would encourage it, because it's definitely worth the time and the effort that you put into it, and the astrologer to that does it. It's definitely well worth the time, the money, and the effort. It's those that understand it and know it, it has significant meaning. And you definitely want to do it. Now, there's another side of Katya that I want to touch on real briefly, because we're running out of time, because there's a show that runs right after mine. And that is you also have a dog training as well as other animal stuff going on as well, away from the music aspect of things.
Yeah, well, growing up, you know, 5 years old, my Russian grandmother said, Katya, you girl play piano. So I learned piano and voice at 5, guitar at 6. And my family's from Russia, and we would constantly take in rescue animals, rescue them, nurse them back to health, release them back to the wild, take in rescue dogs, rescue cats. My family was big on that. I'd come over to my uncle's house, who had the two, you know, Russian sons who were into rock and roll, and the dog would be saying, Mama, Papa, for string cheese. I mean, the dogs were talking. So this was just, you know, natural for me to grow up in this. So I like to call it dog taming. I don't really believe in dog training. You're really just taming the animal to be calm. And I like to tame my dogs to be like a parrot on my shoulder. Everything that they do right, they get steak or chicken. They're really well loved. And I wrote a book, How to Calm and Tame Your Dog Naturally. It's basically a how-to book, how to connect with your dog, and to get them to do what you want with love and respect. No pain involved. You know, very simple. You want your dog to do something, say very little words and just put a little piece of chicken underneath your chin. They will have their eye on you. Snap over their head. The minute they do a sit, pop the chicken in the mouth, and they're going to learn very quickly. Wow. When I do a sit, she says nothing, and I don't have to do anything. I just sit. I get this chicken in my mouth. Very simple. So it's kind of like when food is love. And when I don't have food around, the dogs still want to do what I ask them to do, because they're like, wow, this lady is so good to us. I'm just going to do it, you know?
Now, in some areas, and we talked a little bit about this, and in some cities, and it seems to be not just some cities, it's a global thing, and it's something that I've become a lot more vocal about in the last 4 or 5 months, is animal rights. And that's one of those issues that not a lot of broadcasters really want to go into, because that's where you start dealing with the political system. And you know what? My show's name is No Limits for a reason. And I am a free spirit. And, you know, nobody's ever tamed me, or tried to tame, well, many have tried to tame me, but they've all failed, to be quite honest. But, you know, point blank, you know, animal cruelty, and I get, on average, probably 150 emails a day just on animal cruelty cases within North America and South America and alone. And
yeah, it's worldwide. It's worldwide. The problem's worldwide. You know,
but, I mean, this is just in between U.S. and Canada and South America. That's not even including what's overseas. I mean, this is just on the western side of the hemisphere. Now, globally, I get probably on average about 300 emails a day regarding animal cruelty and or animal rights based emails every day. And I haven't even looked in my emails yet today. I'm almost afraid to. It's kind of one of those things that, you know, it's like, here it is. It's 4:41 or 4:40 and out on the East Coast. And I've probably got 500 emails already today. And
yeah, I believe it.
But the problem is that animal cruelty is an epidemic that it needs to stop. And where it stops is where a few people step out and say enough. Now, a couple years ago, there was a group of rappers out of Los Angeles. I did actually track them down last night, out of Los Angeles, that did a rap called Why Fight the Dogs. And I actually, now that's not my genre at all, but I found it very inspiring, actually, because not so much about the beat, but about the message that they were conveying. And and what that tells me is that it's not so much the genre of music, it's the message that they're conveying. They're saying, and they're stepping out professionally and saying, you know, and it was that you see a lot in the African communities and in many of the harder economic stricken communities, that where money is very tight, that they are having to resort to sad things like that. And it is very disgusting that they're fighting animals, and it's not just happening in the U.S. and Canada, South America. It is global, and it's time that people stand up and hold these people accountable. Now, there are some states that have taken a very strong, strict stance that's, if you do this, you will go to prison for many years, and you will pay a very healthy penalty, and you will be put on a registry. Now, there, in my state, we are fighting for a animal cruelty registry, that if you are convicted of, and this is going to become a national, is what it's going to end up being, is if you are convicted in one state of animal cruelty, you are going to be forced to register. If you leave that state and move to another state, you're going to, it's going to be under that same precedence, just like the sex offender registry.
Yeah, that's great.
It's going to be.
It's a worldwide problem. It's a worldwide problem, and it affects all races. It does.
It
affects all races.
It does, and this bill that they're trying to push it through in Wisconsin first, and then they will work on it in other states as well, but they want to try it in Wisconsin first and go from there.
But I
do see it becoming a nationwide event, that it will become just as commonplace that if you're convicted in one state, that if you move to another state, you are going to have to register in that state. And if you are caught in possession of another animal, you don't pass go. You go directly back to jail, and you can be charged for possession of an animal, and you can face more time.
Well, in Michigan now, they passed a law. You get 20 years in jail. And I like this. 20 years in jail, you get fined $100,000. Because these guys are making $40,000 in one night, these underground fights. And the other problem is, you know, this is happening in Alaska. This isn't a race thing. This is happening worldwide. It's happening in every different ethnic background. It's an ignorance thing where they think the animals just don't matter. But these animals suffer. The animals who win the fight suffer. They can't take them to the vet to even help them because it's illegal what they're doing. And, you know, saying that the pit bull breed likes to fight, that's a bunch of nonsense.
You know, if you cut my ears off without any anesthesia in the kitchen, I'm going to become aggressive towards you. And I mean, they shock these dogs. They take steel rods and hit their backs. I mean, they are doing disgusting, horrible things to these dogs. You know, so
say that a pit bull is aggressive, that's a bunch of nonsense. You know, if you abuse any dog, any person, they're going to become aggressive. And these pit bulls, and this is stated in my book, you know, the pit bull is my favorite dog, and they are also the number one abused dog. So, of course, they're going to become killing machines, and of course they're going to become aggressive because they're basically being tortured, and they're basically being taught to kill.
They say this very similar about the Chinese Chow Chow, which is the oldest domesticated dog on the planet. And I have two Chinese Chows. And, you know, funny thing, they're rescue animals. But, you know, I don't have a bit of problem with them, even though they were rescues. I know their history, and these dogs, I know for a fact, if it came to a point that they had to protect me, they would lay down their life for me, and I wouldn't have, and I've never had to do anything to give them any type of abusive training or nothing. A dog
The thing about the rescue dog is that they were near death. They know it. Dogs aren't stupid. They know they're near death. They know when they're in the pound that they can smell the other animals being euthanized. It's that simple. They know they're homeless. They know they're starving. They know that the humans saved their lives, so they're eternally grateful. So let's stop buying dogs. We're putting down 1,000 dogs a week just in L.A. County alone. We're euthanizing 1,000 dogs a week in L.A. County. Please adopt at your local shelter or rescue group. Stop buying dogs at the puppy store and at the breeder. There's so many puppy mills, and these dogs are put in horrible conditions. Stop buying dogs. There's tons of dogs that need to be rescued at the shelter and through rescue groups. And the thing about rescuing through a rescue group is you have a background on the dog. You know if that dog is child-friendly, if it gets along with other dogs. You know, the Cruellas out of business. You know, because puppy mills are horrible, horrible. These dogs are inbred. They're in their own feces. They are deformed. Yep. They need medical care. They're suffering. They're being tortured. Stop buying dogs.
That's why I've stood behind my animals with it. Well, my dogs came through a different source, but my three rescue cats all came through PetFinder.com actually.
I mean, growing up, we never bought dogs. Our dogs were rescued off the street. There's so many of them. Why do you need to buy one? There's so many of them.
Yeah,
you know,
there
people
is.
People say, well, I want a puppy. Well, you can get a puppy at a shelter or a rescue. Very simple, you know?
And the cost, I mean, some shelters, it varies $20 to $50, and they must be spayed or neutered within 60 to 90 days is the average requirement that I've found. Some are already done already when they're up for adoption. Some are already done for you. Mm-hmm. And... you know, that's great. And those are the ones that you sometimes have to pay $50 for to adopt. But, you know, that's a small price to pay to save that animal's life. You know,
people are paying $1,500, $2,000 for a dog. They have no idea what background this breeder has, and they bring the dog home after spending $1,500, $2,000, only to find out that the dog is ill or the dog has hip dysplasia, and this is what you're going to find normally buying through a breeder, because not all breeders are ethical. And so these dogs have hip dysplasia, hip problems, other medical problems because the dogs are being inbred. And so, you know,
Some breeds, though, with that hip dysplasia, like with the Chow, that is a common thing with the Chow. That some breeds,
I know, but the point of a breeder is after they have a litter, let's say, they should be obligated to X-ray those puppies to make sure those puppies don't have the genetic disorder of hip dysplasia. And if those puppies do have hip dysplasia, they have no business breeding those parents again. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
So, I agree, totally. So it's in all the breeds. Hip dysplasia runs in labs, pit bulls, chows, shepherds. But the point is, you're better off getting a mutt because genetically they're stronger. They're not so close to the bloodline. And a lot of these breeders, you just don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing. Some of my clients tell me what the place looked like when they picked up the puppy, and it's just horrific, you know, and they won't show you the back. Well, they're not showing you the back for a reason. That's because it's probably horrific looking. You know, dogs, as some of these corrupt breeders are in their own feces, you know.
That was one of the, when I picked up my Maine Coon cat, I was very fortunate that the people let me come in the house and play with some of the other animals that were at the shelter as well. Well, hello, Damien and Foxy. Speaking of my dogs, they just came in the studio to say hi.
Of course they did. They knew you were on the phone with me.
But, You know, that's the lovely thing of live radio, folks. You never know when the dogs are going to, or my cat is going to make a appearance. Fortunately, they didn't make a whole lot of racket, but they're also older dogs. But in all seriousness, when is your book going to be available, and where can they get your book and CD?
Okay, well, you can go to TatiMusic.com and get the details about my book. We're doing a photo shoot once a week, so it should be coming out in the spring. And it's going to be a how-to book along with a how-to quick step DVD. And so get more details on TatiMusic.com about how to order my how-to book on how to calm and tame your dog naturally. And you can get my CD on iTunes, or you can purchase it on CDBaby.com, or you can purchase it at TatiMusic.com. And I also have a deluxe version that's hand autographed by yours truly with a custom Katya guitar pick inside. That's the deluxe version. And it comes with three acoustic tracks.
I happen to have the actual deluxe version, minus the autograph, but...
Did you get your guitar pick?
Nope, mine came from Aaron, actually. I didn't get the guitar pick.
Doesn't sound like a deluxe edition, my friend. Comes with the guitar pick and the handwritten autograph.
I got the CD and the bonus acoustic tracks, and that works for me.
You didn't get the deluxe edition. That's what I shipped off to Japan, actually. So
we'll maybe save that for one of these days when things settle down and calm down in my show, and I can take time to organize some stuff. I'm going to be putting together a fan drawing and kind of like a contest, maybe around my birthday or after I come back from an extended vacation, because I'm actually going to be going on a animal break in May, June, and part of July for a prayer wolf walk that starts out in Boise, Idaho, and goes all the way to Michigan.
And, wow, that sounds great.
And that in a wheelchair.
Good for you. If I was there, I'd be pushing the wheelchair.
I'm planning on pushing myself, hopefully. But that starts on May the 12th, and it's going to be hitting, going down into South Dakota. And then up into Montana and Michigan through Wisconsin and then into the southern part of Michigan. And it's all in the name of the animals that were delisted in 2011-2012. That are now being hunted for no reason. So during that time, I won't be on the air. Probably DJ Hunter will be setting in for me while I'm gone. And then there'll be the once a week, I'll call into the show and give you the live from the front line kind of thing and let you know what's going on from the Wolf Walk 2013. And I'm really honored to also be part of the planning of that event as well. I don't know how I got elected into that, but it's actually, it's an honor. It's not an elected thing. It's more of an honor, actually, mm-hmm. because it's something like this has not been done before. So
that sounds great.
But it's all in the interest of the American Indian movement and that sort of stuff. But at any rate, that's going to be starting in May on the 12th, and I won't actually be back until probably mid-July. But that's going to be a long, after I get home, I'm going to get, it's going to be a long trip.
Sounds like quite an adventure.
But
the long and winding road.
Well, it's all in the name of the love of animals. That's why I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Can't beat that, girl. Can't beat that.
And that's why I'm being so public about it. And you know, the listeners need to know what is up and why I won't be on during that time. So, you know, I'm giving
it. There's no reason why you shouldn't be public. I mean, it is so hip now. we were doing this when it wasn't hip. It's so hip now to save the animals. I mean, how can you down that? You know, a lot of celebrities are stepping up to the plate for the causes that they believe in, you know?
It's not about, because I have Native American heritage, it's not so much about being hip. It's about protecting our mother and standing up and making my voice heard. And some people know that I do have that I've made a couple of videos on YouTube. Some people don't. For those that don't know that I've made a couple of videos, you can find me at Temptress 3630 on YouTube, and you can check out Yours Truly, or you can simply type in into your YouTube browser. You can simply type in Save the Wolf and Make Your Voice Be Heard and Stop the Wolf Hunts with the ampersand symbol and relist them. Those are two of the videos that I have recorded that are animal rights related directly to the wolf. The last video, Save the Wolf and Make Your Voice Be Heard, is a little bit longer video. It's a 9-minute video, but it definitely will open your eyes. If you got blinders on, that video will open your eyes. I can guarantee it.
Well, I'm not saying that we're doing it to be hip. We've been doing this for a long time, but what I am saying is, a lot of people now are, you know, it's very chic now to have, to stand up for animals. A lot of the celebrities are doing it, and they're doing it for other causes that they firmly believe in. So I think people who are in the public eye should have their specific cause that they're into and make this world a better place, you know?
We've
been doing it a long time before it was ever trendy to do. You know, but I'm glad it is becoming trendy, and I want people to step up to the plate more to stand up for what is right, you know?
Well, it's time that the seventh, you know, we are in that seventh generation, and that the ancient ones talked about, and it is our time that we need to take the reins and take control and say, you know, enough is enough, and say, you know, no to frack mining, no to do it to the Elderbridge pipeline, no to the Keystone pipeline, no to the Canadian pipeline, that no to the tar sands project up in Canada. You know, it's idle no more, baby. You know, bottom line.
Well, it does make a difference. Look what happened in Michigan. They passed the law where if you're caught dog fighting, you're fined $100,000 and you're put in jail for 20 years. So our voice does matter. It does make a difference, because some days I wake up and I'm just like, it's hopeless. There's so much violence out there that it's hopeless. But if we do keep pushing, it's, you know, change does happen.
And it will continue to slowly happen, but unfortunately for some species, they don't have that kind of time, and that's one of the reasons for the prayer walk, and that's one of the reasons why I've become so much more vocal about it, and one of the reasons that I don't back down on any level of media, or, you know, and I get threats every once in a while, and people telling me, you know, you need to tame down a little bit, you know, you need to chill out, you know, you know, you can take your chill out and go back and sit in your easy chair if you want, but I'm an action woman, you know, and
so every animal, child, woman, and man are not being abused on this planet, and until we stop abusing the planet itself, there's no reason to sit down. And, you know, when the whole Casey Anthony trial was going down, I mean, what happened to Kaylee Anthony is despicable. Duct tape on a two-year-old's mouth, thrown into a garbage bag, and wrapped in its own blanket, in her own blanket, thrown into a dump of trash. You know, it's like nobody's going to tell me that that was an accident. That was a murder. The state declared it a murder. Rightfully so, it should be declared a murder. And a lot of the fans were saying, you know, Katya, don't blow a gasket over this. It's like, well, you know what? The fact that a two-year-old who's a citizen of the United States was treated like that and found disregarded like a piece of trash, I am going to blow a gasket. And I'm going to blow a gasket until every child is safe on this planet. I'm going to continue to blow a gasket, you know, because that just, a two-year-old should not have duct tape over his mouth, stuffed in garbage bags and thrown into a swamp of trash, you know. It's like that should never happen on any corner of the planet. You know, so
yeah.
I'm going to continue to blow a gasket until this changes. Amen.
You know, I mean, the bottom line is that we need to do something, and we need to do something quick here before there's no time. And
yeah, I agree.
Time,
I agree.
You know, speaking of time, we are out of time.
Well, you'll have to interview me next year, honey.
Yeah, we'll bring it. We will definitely bring you back. And maybe
be continued.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do a Katya round two. And by then, your book will be out, and maybe we can do more on the animal issues And I'll have a lot more. You know, one of the things that I did learn today, while watching the Idle No More flash dance at the Capitol in Minnesota, in the state of Minnesota, the welfare system in that state has not changed in 27 years. Yet the cost of living has went up dramatically in 27 right. years. You know, it's time to change there in Minnesota, and I support those people up there. But we need to get back to the music, folks. We're going to kick it off with The Power of Rock and Roll by Katya. We got Vicious Brat coming up and Laying in My Bed right here. digital-revolution-radio.com. Crank it up and let's get ready to rock it out. Right here, digital-revolution-radio. Let's rock.